I just got so lost. Anyway, I couldn't get out and asked. Normally I get out of the car and ask directions, but I was in my pyjamas and my slippers. And I'm a bag lady at best of times. Never mind when... Yes, the person you can hear chipping in rather rudely is my sofa guest. Well, not rude at all. Peter Pullane. Welcome to the show, Mr. Pullane.
Thank you very much.
Now, you are an artist. Is that what's on your passport?
I don't know. Last time I looked, yes, I think it was.
That's a brilliant thing to have on your passport, isn't it? Artist.
Yes, well, it covers many things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I should say, you look like an artist because you have you sort of flowing locks, but white locks. But if I met you in one of those shows, I'd say, oh, he's the artist.
Oh, right. That sounds very distinctive. However, if you come to one of our exhibitions, everyone looks like this. All of the artists have white hair and...
But I suppose you have... Do you have to sort of self-style yourself as an artist and be quite... the word I'm looking for is a bit poncy. You're not poncy, are you?
hippie would have been nicer, Georgina. No, not really. It's just developed this way. In fact, when I had brown hair and brown moustache, I didn't look so artistic.
You did? Oh, no, exactly. Well, we're going to talk about your long and varied career throughout the show. We'll be dipping into it because, not that your claim to fame is the fact you went to school with a couple of famous people, because you're famous in your own right, but this swinging 60s in London, that must have been a tremendous time.
Yes, it was very good fun, and I wish I hadn't mucked around so much when I was at art college and sort of like putting detergent in the town hall fountain, which was next to the art college.
Mr. Pullane, did you do that?
Yes, I'm afraid I did with a friend. We put also some coloured powder paint in as well, so we had a red, white and blue fountain.
Yeah, but you could have said that's an art installation and got charged them a fortune for it.
Now that would have happened, but not then. You know, that wasn't... I've done it now because the town will probably send me a bill, won't they?
They won't be listening, don't you worry. Now, you've got an exhibition going on at the Pin Mill Galleries at the moment.
Yes, that's of my woodcuts.
It's not only woodcuts you do, or is that mainly what you specialise in?
No, I paint in oils and do woodcut printing, and the exhibition at Pin Mill is on until the 18th of July. And that is specifically woodcuts.
Oh, OK. We'll be talking a bit about more about your art. But first of all, let's take you back to you were born in London.
Yep.
We can say
100 years ago.
Well, should we just say pre-war London?
Yeah, okay.
Second World War. Let's not...
Yeah,
let's
that's
not,
right. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't go down that road. Not that grey.
Whereabouts in London were you born?
I was born in Stratford.
In Stratford. So, East End boy?
Yes.
Proper Cockney, is that?
That's
Stratford?
It, yes. Within the sound of the bells.
But yeah.
Bone.
And then did you move to Suffolk or you travelled around?
Stayed around the area and when I got married, we moved to Suffolk about 20, 30, 40 years ago, something like
that. So you're practically a Suffolk boy now?
Yes, yes.
And just tell us about the age of 7. Do you have any clear memories of this, that you were nearly killed by a doodle bug?
Yeah, I really was. I was sent to post a letter by my parents and I was dawdling along the road, and just as I got to the letterbox, heard the sound of a doodle bug. I mean, in those days it was quite frightening because that had this distinctive sound. Even worse was when the engine stopped and then it sort of dived straight to the ground. Well, I was looking up at this doodle bug and it was coming through the clouds and I thought, how interesting, and then it stopped and it came towards me. So bit of panic set in and I thought I'd better get out of the way, and then extreme panic set in because there was nowhere to run to. By the side of me there was a wall of a house. It was about 3 foot high, and this was in a few seconds. I thought, if I stand by that wall it still leaves the top of me showing, so I dived over the wall just in time, and the doodle bug exploded just across the road, sort of less than 50 yards away.
Gosh, and that's incredible.
Yeah, it was really frightening. It blew the wall on top of me, and I must have gone over with my shoes just at the top of the wall, and it was very smoky, my ears were ringing, and when I stood up, I had glass sticking out of my shoes. One shoe was completely trashed, And I didn't know whether to go home and say I'd lost the letter or get out of the way because the woman might have told me for smashing her windows. So
you're more worried about that?
Yeah, I was more worried about that. Yeah.
When you have that sort of, I haven't had it, but when you have that sort of experience in later life, people often say, you know, it changes their outlook. I guess at that age, you just think, oh, blimey, lucky escape, do you?
Yes, it was. I mean, I didn't think much of it at the time, but looking back on it, I mean, that wasn't far away. It was just this very low wall that sheltered me completely. What, I mean, it blew the windows and the door off of the house, which I was sheltering by.
What did your mum say when you said you lost a letter?
Well, typically, look at your shoes and where's the letter?
You didn't get evacuated then?
Yes, I did. So I think probably that started it. They thought we're better evacuate, because a lot of these doodlebugs, they were meant for London, but something went wrong with the steering and a lot of them came to East London, sort of near Snaresbrook, where this was, and a lot went to Epping, in fact, which, so it's a bit off course. So yes, was evacuated to Wales with
Just you on your own, or have you got brothers and sisters?
Myself and my sister.
And you both went to the same family?
Yeah, we stayed at the same family.
What was that like?
Weird. Yeah, really weird. It was strange. I mean, the Welsh language, even though they were speaking English as a kid, I found it hard to understand. I went to a Welsh school for a little while, and that was bizarre. But I liked the country. It was very nice. I can remember walking along the lanes, and it was very pretty.
And how long were you in Wales for?
It wasn't long, I think probably about a year.
And did you get to see your parents when you evacuated? Or was that they waved you goodbye and you wouldn't see them for...
Waved me goodbye, and as parents do occasionally. And my mother came up to occasionally to see us, and then we went back home.
Yeah. Amazing, though, a little London lad going all the way out to Wales for that.
Yeah, I mean, short trousers and all of that stuff.
You know when you're artists and you have sort of themes that develop, and what would be the themes that have gone on in your life? Would anything of that be in it, you know, sort of?
No, strangely, I don't dig into past themes other than I can remember my childhood extremely well, and I find that looking at things as through a child's eyes. I mean, my grandchildren are very good at assisting me there. I mean, when they paint, and I think I wish I painted like that. So I'm trying to look like that. Looking at things in a simple way, I suppose, is the answer. That's what I try and do.
A sort of kind of naturalistic way, is it?
Yes.
Or is it just an excuse for not doing very good pictures? No, they're absolutely beautiful, some, and you very kindly brought some in.
Yes.
And there. But what would you say you specialise in as your medium? It would be the...
To oil painting and woodcuts. At the moment, I'm concentrating on portraits because of colleague Derek Chambers and myself have an exhibition at the Pears Gallery in Alborough at the end of October with portraits.
Yeah. And you'll never stop being an artist now. It's just something that goes on and on and on, really.
No, I mean, once a goddaughter who's just become an artist said... I want to be an artist, what's it like? And I said, well, once you open the gates, there's no turning back. And it is very much like that. It's very addictive. You are always looking at various things and seeing how they could be incorporated in what one does.
Yeah, wonderful. We will talk more throughout the show, but you're also a Royal Academician. I can't say the word. Academician.
I'm not an RA, but I have had work in the Royal Academy, yes.
Oh, gosh. Did you see that programme? There's a programme on the telly about how they choose the summer exhibition people. Did you see that?
Yes. I didn't like that at all.
Do you ever submit things for that?
For the summer exhibition, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a conveyor belt, wasn't it? Summer exhibition, as you know, is, you know, anyone can send in a picture and it goes up in the Royal Academy, which is where it's somewhere in London.
Well, I've heard a nice story about the students, the RA students. They hold work up and take them past the judges.
It's like a conveyor belt, yeah.
Yeah, very, very quickly, and the judge says yes or no, a bit like... in the Roman times, they put a thumb down. But one of the students thought, oh, I don't know, they turned that down. I really like that painting. So they waited for about half an hour and took it round again, and it got in.
Oh, gosh. Well, I tell you why that might be. The one thing that stood out for me in that programme is they have a tea break, these judges, or Royal Academic, what's it called?
Yeah, well, with Bovril.
Yeah. Do they have what they call beef tea? Do
That's
you know
it.
What's in that?
Yes. beef tea and sherry, yes. And it's more like sherry tea and a bit of bovril.
So that's it, they're plastered. No wonder you've got nothing in, because your pictures are lovely.
The BBC Radio Suffolk What's On Diary.
I was delving a bit quickly there. My sofa guest, Mr. Peter Paul Lane, artist there. I just want to tell you what you can get up to today if you fancy it. Talking of art, we've got an exhibition of work by John Bellany, CBRA. Media reports today that personnel, as we heard there, has had to cut 1,000 jobs in the building sector. But Stephen George there saying, well, actually, you know, we just have to be a bit more positive, and it's the media, and we're kind of doom-mongering ourselves into this. As an artist, my studio guest today, Peter Pullane, are you affected by the credit crunch? I mean, do you get less orders for paintings?
Really, that my materials are very expensive.
Oh, well, actually, have they gone up?
Yeah, incredibly. I mean, it's terribly expensive to be an artist. So it's very, very hard.
As a jobbing artist, which I suppose you did, is that how you make your money in terms of selling paintings?
Selling paintings and prints, yes. The problem is it's a bit like being on a scenic railway. You know, you have right at the top, you're earning some money, selling some work, and then it suddenly drops down and nothing for quite a while.
And you're reliant on people coming in and saying, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a portrait painted.
Yes, hopefully on the portrait side. So there's two sides, really. There's the printmaking, which there are quite a few exhibitions that I have from time to time, and people can buy the prints. And then on the portrait side, I'm hoping to really step up and get into gear, as I mentioned earlier.
To do more portraits?
Yeah, to get commissions.
I must say, since you've been sitting there, I've been thinking, sit up a bit straighter. When you look at people, do you think, oh, I wouldn't like to do her, or she'd be all right? Or do you look at faces and think there's something there that you'd like to capture?
Yes, there always is. There always is. Fortunately, the people that are sitting for you will say, oh, you've caught something there. I spend quite a bit of time actually talking to the person and observing them first to really, I suppose, it sounds a bit corny, but to get the essence of the person rather than the photographic representation.
That must be quite difficult. You've brought in a portrait you've done of your granddaughter, who's 10.
Yeah.
And it's even if you don't know the young lady in question, it's a very lovely looking picture. But to capture something that you would know as a grandfather, you must view her very differently from her friends her mum. Yeah. How do you distill what you really want to paint?
There was a quality in her between sort of being very young and just about coming into teenager, but also there's a little bit of cheeky humour that she has, which is very nice, and that's what I wanted to try and catch. So with that portrait, I said stand still, and she mucked around, you know, sort of fingers on her nose, and then I said, no, come on, be really serious. And she went to the other extreme, sort of like a model, but it's trying to bring them into the situation, which is them, and that is her, very much her.
How much would it cost to do a portrait, or do you just look at them and think, oh, I'd be a bit too much pain? Don't look at me like that, Mr.
No. Georgina, no. Yes, I think that really, bearing in mind the amount of time, we're looking at four figures, so it's either just under 1,000 or just over per person. So if you had two people, it's 2,000.
Actually, it's not that much. If you think, that's probably what a set of wedding photos would set you back, and that is something that would last for a lifetime and beyond.
Well, the problem is that a lot of people think that you're an artist because it's easy and you like doing it, but it is a craft. It's very hard, and after all, if you have a builder in, you were just talking about builders, if you have a builder in to do something, that's going to cost you that, and any builder can alter a room for you, whereas only one artist can do that style of painting, so it's unique, and it ought to be far more than that.
Yeah, how long does it take? You talk of it as almost like a trade. How long would it take to do a portrait?
It depends. I mean, there have been, I mean, what you see or what the public see are the successful results. There's been horrendous ones where you've had to scrape off the paint, try and start again. But I would think probably a good week to do a portrait.
I suppose how we see ourselves is very different from how you might see us. Have you had people that said, turn around and said, oh, I don't like that? I mean, really disliked it.
Not myself, but my father did a portrait of someone. He should never have accepted the commission. And what happened was they said to him, you do portraits? And he said, yes. And he should have said, who of? And they gave him a black and white photograph of an uncle who had died and years ago, and they wanted a portrait. And he had to ask them, what colour are his eyes? So anyway, they... all of this information, which was misinformation, was given to him, and they didn't like it at all. Well, naturally, they wouldn't.
Could he not just have said it was an abstract?
Well, yes, I think if he dropped a bit of paint on it, he might have got away with it.
Yeah, wonderful. We'll talk more in a minute, but first, time for some travel.
Travel news from BBC Radio Suffolk. BBC
Radio. To lose it. Got a sofa guest, a brilliant sofa guest on the sofa today, Peter Pullane, who is an artist of this parish, well, Nacton, actually.
Nacton Village, yes.
Nacton Village, who's born and grew up in London, yes. and then moved to Suffolk later on. Just tell us a bit about your time at art school. As I said, you were there with Peter Blake and Ken Russell, the director. Was it a very exciting time?
It was very exciting, and as I mentioned earlier, Georgina, I wish I'd paid more attention and didn't muck around so much. Yes, Peter Blake was quite a character. Very much a character, because then he had badges all over his jacket and he was wearing baseball boots. But contrary to popular belief then, all of us artists, we wore suits and ties. It was a strange fashion. I mean, we went out of that for a while into the beatnik style, but yes, we had smart suits and boots and things.
Who are the artists that you watch now and you think, oh, they're really good?
Not many. So, no, I mean, there are, I mean, you mentioned the Royal Academy. I can't mention names, but there are some which I think aren't very good, and there are some that are good.
Do you like the Tracy Emmons and that style of art on the Banksys or not?
I like Banksy. I don't like Tracy Emin at all. I don't think she's even an artist, but... yes, there are some very talented artists, but I think a lot of people are hoodwinking the public, and that gives art in general a bad name, which I don't like.
Oh, okay. Now, tell us about your exhibition at the moment. This is, the printing that you do is done on an antique Colombian printmaking press, is it?
That's right. Yes, it's about a couple of hundred years old. It's wood. Cuts printmaking in general is very old. I mean, it goes back to the Egyptians first started making printmaking with seals and things and printing on walls, and then the Chinese and Japanese in about the 4th century, and it wasn't until paper came out later on that printing really got a hold.
And you use special Japanese acid-free paper, is that right?
Not necessarily Japanese, but certainly acid-free paper, which is normally handmade or mould-made, and that means that the image that is put onto the paper then doesn't deteriorate, which it would do with conventional papers.
Do you prefer the printmaking to the portraits, or what's your favourite thing?
Both, really. I think that the... printmaking gives me an opportunity for one style of expression, and portrait painting another style. The printmaking is very nice. I mean, there's various types of printmaking. There's etching and woodcut. I prefer the woodcut because it has a very strong image.
Ever asked anyone to come and see your etchings? I had to ask. Taking us to the news at 1:30 with Kate Arkell, we've got a song, Bread and Make It With You.
Georgina Rowe on BBC Radio Suffolk.
Yeah, good afternoon to you. I have still on my sofa got Mr. Peter Pullane, who has been my sofa guest. You know what it means when I say has been? It means you're almost finished.
Right.
Is that a sigh of relief?
No, it's not at all.
It's been wonderful hearing all your stories, actually, from the swing 60s, from almost being killed by a doodle bug, which would have been terrible. Just tell us where we can see all these wonderful paintings.
Oh, right, yes. There's at the moment, I've got a exhibition of my woodcuts at the Pinmill Studio, which is opposite the pub. Can I mention the pub?
Oh, I think you can.
It's opposite the Button Oyster, and that's on until the 18th of July. Future plans... I shall be having a portrait exhibition with a colleague, Derek Chambers, at the Peter Piers Gallery in Alborough. That'll be on the 24th of October to the 29th.
Yeah.
So if you would like a portrait or a commission, do come along and have a look at the styles that are there.
And you could actually commission you to do it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Derek has a slightly different style to myself, which is very nice, so that people can compare the styles. So come along, have a look, and think, right, I'd like one in that style, and I'll ask Peter or Derek. That's the idea.
How long does it take actually to sit for you? Do you do sketches or?
It depends on the person. Again, whether they're going to sit still or make faces. I think probably a sketch in a day, and then a couple of days, and occasionally might work from photographs if the person's very fidgety. So start off with conventionally a portrait, and then take a photograph if they've had enough and say, I'm not coming back again.
But what's your masterpiece that you'd like, to take to your grave with you?
Thanks very much.
I didn't mean it like that. But, the one that you just think, my goodness, that was a good one.
I think that if we start to get some commissions and someone very striking and well-known comes in and actually likes it and it's hung up somewhere, then I could then say, I painted that. Mind you, my granddaughter thinks I'm famous already, and perhaps I'll get her to spread the word.
Among the 10-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, they all do proms now, so I don't see why they wouldn't have portraits painted themselves.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Oh, and the other thing is that if people are interested in printmaking, I belong to a print group, Sudbourne Park Printmakers, and we run printmaking workshops, two-day printmaking workshops from time to time. We're fully booked up at the moment, but we'll be having one in probably end of autumn. And if anyone's interested, they could probably contact me.
Yeah, what's your number?
01473
yep.
659 590.
You are a talented man. Thank you so much for being my sofa guest today. What we normally do is play you out with a piece of your chosen music. And what's this one we're going to play?
Well, there's a couple, but I like either Chivalry or Brandy Carlile. I think probably Brandy Carlile, The Story, I quite like.
I've got to say, it's a very contemporary choice.
Thank you. You keep harping on this, isn't it?
To be honest, for someone who's born in 1937, you're a pretty, cool dude.
Thanks very much.
There you go.
Mind you, I have to listen to a lot of music when I'm painting in my studio.
Oh, yeah, of course. Here we go. Thanks so much, Peter Pelaine, my sofa guest.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been, and now I got to where I am. But these stories don't got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean. Oh,
the story from the chosen song from my sofa guest, Peter Pullane, who joined me today. You can find out more and you can go and see his exhibition at the Pin Mill Gallery in, where is that? It's Chelmer Distan. Yes, if you want to go and see that, do please go and see. But we've got some very important news just in.